Welcome to No More Booze, the podcast. I'm Olivia Farrelly, and in every episode, I explore the role that alcohol has in our lives. I interview people who have decided to live their life with no more booze. We'll explore their relationship with alcohol, how it made their life better, how it made their life worse, any lessons they've learned along the way, and what advice they would give to others who are contemplating a life without alcohol. So whether you are sober curious, you're sober serious, or you're already living your life alcohol-free, this podcast will provide inspiration and motivation as you begin to untangle and reassess your relationship with the booze. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to No More Booze, the podcast. So I have an exceptionally exciting guest today. So I know I spoke on the last episode about kind of moving away from No More Booze, but, you know, into maybe, I suppose, more about healing and visualization and getting exactly what we want out of our lives. And this person is exceptionally inspirational. Every time I see her online, I'm just like, what a legend. It is Yvonne Trakian. Hello, Yvonne. How are you?
Oh, I love that word, exceptional. I got to use that as my affirmation tomorrow. I am exceptional. I am exceptional. Olivia said it. So it has to be true, right? It has to be true.
It has to be true. I think one of the things I love about you the most, and I don't use the word love lightly. Well, I do. I love everything and everyone. But I really love you, right, Yvonne? Because you are so high vibe. You do not give one single shit. And it's just, it's this, you know, unapologetically yourself, authentic vibe that comes through from everybody. It's just, it's deeply inspiring.
Really. Thanks. I think that, like, I remember after I had maybe my first or second miscarriage, I can't remember what it was, maybe the second one, and I was like totally devastated. And I went to every sort of healer or person there was on the planet. I went to this German lady and I walked into the room and I sat down. And the first thing she said to me was, "You are so confident." And I looked at her and I said, "You know what?" And I was 32 when I started trying to have babies. I was like, "You know what? I am just comfortable in my skin. I am just happy being who I am." Now, that's not to say that I don't have, you know, there's not moments where I'm like, oh, like, should I do this? Should I not do this? Like, you know, we all have those days, you know, but like, I'm genuinely just happy being me. And if you don't like it, good for you. Good for you is what I say, because you know what? I'm not here to be liked by everyone, and I shouldn't be liked by everyone. I shouldn't be everybody's vibe. I could be too high vibes for some people. They're like, oh, that one needs to calm it down a little bit. And that is totally fine. I do not judge. That's why I say there's space for everyone. There's loads of different types of manifestors, loads of different types of coaches. You choose the one that works best for you. And if you want to be liked by everyone, then I would say you're probably a people pleaser.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the truth, you know?
Yeah. Do you want to just give people a little introduction, who you are and what you do?
So I am Yvonne Trakian. I'm a Kerry gal, but I grew up in LA and moved back when I was a teenager. And I'm a former corporate lawyer, just finished up recently. And now I do all things manifestation, manifestation challenges, manifestation gratitude boxes. Going to start a subscription-based service. We do community events. So it's all about manifesting your dream life. But I think maybe what separates me from other people is that I have really simplified it into 7 steps. And also, I try and make it as fun and as just joyful as possible with lots of tips. I have a tip for everything. Like absolutely everything. Like logging into my computer is my password for what I want to manifest. Like everything, manifestation is my lifestyle. And that's what I say to people, like, if you want to manifest, you've got to make it part of who you are. It's got to become part of your lifestyle. And then things will just start coming way more easily to you. Way more. So for me, manifestation is your vibe. It's who you are. It's how you show up in the world, but it's also how you react to situations. It's how you get triggered by people. It's acceptance of certain things that happen to you in life, and it really just a journey. But it's your thoughts, beliefs creating your reality
Yeah,
is the way I
absolutely.
view it.
I'm frantically writing here now because loads to say. Come here. I started manifesting at 26, right? I was working in residential units at the time. I was going on a night shift. A girl who was I was taken over from handed me The Secret. I started reading it at 26. I've read every single book practically on manifestation. I've manifested two dream cars, my husband, like a deposit for a wedding on the day our wedding, the day it was due, like absolutely everything. So I am an absolute believer. I've been to all your events, like a little stalker girl, and I've done all of your challenges to date. And I can absolutely say that I've manifested like the podcast sponsorship from that, like friendships, all these different type of things. And the one thing I am manifesting at the minute is a book deal. So we're my sign for that is a purple seahorse, and that purple seahorse comes up all the time. But go on.
That's funny. Mine is actually an orange penguin, and I still haven't seen it.
Oh,
And
okay.
I still haven't seen it, which is okay. I went to my daughter's school yesterday, and they had penguins all over the school. They were obviously coloring in penguins for Christmas, and there was no orange one there. There was green ones, purple ones. But I know myself, the time will come. I know that I have a series of books. They're all one word, like one word of the name of each book. And I have a series in my head, but I just want the time to sit down and do it. Because some things, when you're manifesting, some things that might feel a little bit more out of your control, like the soulmate, the baby, you just have to, more gratitude, affirmations, visualization. But things like the book, the podcast, the job, that's taking action. That's like you need to sit your ass down and write your book. That's what you need to do. Like, and that there's no other way about it. It's just actually taking that action, those steps to write the book,
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the book's almost there. There's 50,000 words done. So,
Amazing.
yeah. So my daughter even she was looking out for a purple seahorse, and she was actually making a little bracelet in school. And when I went to collect her, she was like, "Oh my God, Mama, look, a purple seahorse, a little charm to wear on her when she was making the bracelet." But like it absolutely works. So can you give us just a sense of like what manifestation is, how it shows up in your life, and I suppose what got you into it?
Well, I think The Secret has been the start of a lot of people's journeys. And by the way, I love Rhonda Byrne. I think if I had to like compare myself to any other manifestation coach or person, there's loads, Wayne Dyer, Gabby Bernstein, all of them, Matt Cook, all of them. I think I'd probably be closest to Rhonda Byrne. And the reason why is I think she really makes manifestation fun. She's also similar, and she d does like little fun tips like we're doing right now, the 21-day countdown to riches abundance challenge. So that's really good. But so I got The Secret when I was around 18. I was living in Ireland at the time, but my uncle brought the book over from California, and he was like, "You've got to read this book." And I read the book, and I was like, "This is me. This is me. Like, this is who I am. This is my mindset already." I was fiercely kind of I was always pretty positive, and yeah, had a good kind of strong, solid mindset. Maybe it's the second child sort of thing. And I didn't always get what I wanted. Like, I didn't get the points that I wanted to study law, and I didn't know as much about visualization then. I didn't understand it as much, and I did not know all the principles either about surrender and letting go and trusting the timing of your life and rejection is redirection and everything works out for you. Because ultimately, I went to college in Galway and did law and history and met my best friends ever, had the best time. And then when I did my master's in commercial law in Dublin, I was like, I'm going to get into one of the top law firms. I had this belief that I'd be in one of the top ones, and nobody wanted to interview me. I mean, it was 2008. It was really competitive, And I was totally and utterly naive and clueless about the way things work in Dublin. Like, it's another level. Like, you're up against people who are like yachting on the weekends, and they're like, they've internshiped in all these law firms. And I'm like, oh, I worked in a restaurant. And, since the age of 50, like, it was just, I was just totally clueless, but I believed I'd get into one of the top law firms. At the time I was studying for the New York bar, another thing that I wanted to do, I did believe I was going to pass the first time, even though I had a relative that said to me, who lived in the States, you won't pass that first time. It's very normal not to pass first time. So don't get your hopes up. You're not going to pass for first time. I was like, I am going to pass this first time. I really believed. And I put in the work. But then what happened was I was like, I'm going to get into one of the top law firms. And my mom had met TD at the time. He asked how I was getting on, and she said she's struggling to get into a law firm. And he said, well, I know two partners in two of the top law firms. Why don't you tell her to give me a call and she can meet them? So I met them both, but it was only really to look at my CV. But one of them offered me a job the very next day as a paralegal. And then I seized that opportunity and I just worked my way up and up and up. But that really was a point as well, which I realized, okay, I didn't get exactly what I wanted, like, which was to be a trainee in a law firm, but it actually worked out better for me because I became a paralegal. I didn't go to Blackall Place, which for me was the place basically is where lawyers go while they're in law firms, but they take this chunk of time out, they learn a bit more, but they're really just learning, but also having a great time and partying. And I just am not a party girl. And I never was. And I wasn't in college either. Like, I used to go to the gym a lot. I did kickboxing competitively in college. So I wasn't out. My husband always says to me now, like, Yvonne has one blowout in the year and that's it. Like, and now even that I can't do, right? So never really. So it worked out for me perfectly. I became paralegal. I stayed in the law firm, worked my way up. And then eventually a client asked me to move across. Like, not only a client based, a public company, which I love public company kind of stuff, and neuroscience based, working with like the top neuroscientists globally. And I'm sitting in the boardroom with them. Like, what are the chances? You can't make this stuff up. Like, one of my book title names, which I'm not going to probably use, but I could in the future, is You Can't Make This Shit Up.
Amazing.
You can't make it up. So it all just started there. And then I just realized, oh my God, the more I see, do you know what? I also had this, like, I don't know how you would describe it, but like this real intuitive knowing when things would happen, just knowing, like a strong sense of knowing. And I think that is your intuition, but it's almost like, it really is great for manifestation if you can really tap in to a knowing. 'Cause I just had this belief, like, I'm going to be at certain places and stages in my life, and they've always happened. Always.
It's nearly like what they talk about, like the five clairs: clairvoyant, clairsentient, clair whatever the other clairs are, but like it's clairsentient. I feel I'm very clairsentient as well, so like I'll get a feeling and I'll know, I'll just know something's going to happen. And I suppose, and even if we just kind of talk about this around alcohol, right? So when we remove the alcohol, right, then there's this knowing. So there's the clarity, and there's just an increased level of focus as well in your life, where you just know what's meant for you, And I think alcohol kind of dumbs us down a little bit, a
Because
whole pile.
if you think about it, alcohol, like, when your manifestation is all about your vibe, your vibrational frequency, what you're putting out into the world, right? And you might be high vibes while you're having a few drinks and you're in great form, but the reality is the knock-on effect of that over a couple of days is what's really not good for your vibe. So you might have to get up to children, you might have to get up for work, you won't sleep well, and I think sleep is like the pillar, because we all know if we don't sleep properly, we're crankier, we're more impatient. That's not good for manifesting, right? So I think if you have a lot of alcohol in your life and you want to manifest something, you should consider cutting it out or cutting it down at least, because it does impact your vibe, and we all know that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I've heard you say so many times, like we get what we are. So like we, I suppose I read a lot of Joe Dispenza. I'm going to Joe Dispenza next year. But like what we, and gratitude magnetizes everything towards us, So like we have to show up, like we have to have the practices in place that we're joyful, like what you said there, rejection is redirection. Like how do we, it also helps with that kind of resilience, that bounce back ability. Once we're down, you can put a positive slant on absolutely anything, and I think that's what, you do so well. You have an affirmation for absolutely everything, right? It's like you're tapping your car and you're like, I am abundant and the universe show me the money and all these type of things. But like I suppose what people probably need to know, myself included, Yvonne, right? Because I'll go hell for leather on something, right? And then I forget, right? So you have to be consistent. It's exactly what you said there. It's an absolute lifestyle. You have to do it every single day, and you have to remember to do it every single day.
And then what happens once you're consistent is that you're just maintaining it. It's almost like the gym. You're like, you work really, really hard to build these amazing habits in your brain. And we know from neuroplasticity, you can teach an old dog new tricks. It might take a little bit longer, but you can break the habit. Like, I'll give you an example. We're doing all my habits that I've taught myself, all of them, I do automatically. I tap my card, I am abundant. I'm walking down the street, I'm saying to people in my head, I'm a vibe, you're a vibe. This is just so natural to me. You will not see a coffee cup without an affirmation on it, right? This one says, my time is now, right? It's just automatic. I have a pen in my bag everywhere. However, we're now doing Rhonda Byrne's 21 Days Countdown to Riches. And one of her tips for today was, pretend money going out is money that you're receiving. Whereas I tap my card and I'll say I'm in abundance. So I had this morning, I actually gave to charity twice today. I was like, I give to charity. I just hear these sad stories and I'm just like, oh, here you go. Boy with cancer, 15, mouth cancer, rare. And then another 88-year-old veteran in the USA has to work. His pension was taken off him. I just feel sorry for him. I'm just like, that's why I want abundance in my life. I just want to like give it out. If my husband knew this, he'd be like, what in the name of God are you doing? So I was like, oh, I forgot that I have to say, pretend that like I'm paying $4.20 for a coffee, that I'm actually receiving it. So I sat down and I remembered. I just looked at my Revolut and I pretended I was receiving the money. So you have to remind yourself these things. And a little ways that you can do that in your life is you can set little alarms. Like I'd set little alarms before I go to bed. I am abundant. Everything always works out for me. I trust the timing of my life. And when I brush my teeth, you can say your gratefuls. I'll have like on my page, I'll have a morning routine and a nighttime routine. But everything has like its place. Like, for example, I wake up in the morning, the affirmations are on the phone. I'm making my coffee, I'm saying my gratefuls and my affirmations. I'm going for my shower, there is some form of high vibe song coming on, like Anything Could Happen by Ellie Goulding. That is all part of my day. Too much, recently I've been noticing I've been on social media a lot more. My screen time is disgraceful, really. But I've noticed that there's a lot of, I don't know if it's just coming up on my feed, but there's a lot of sadness. A lot of death and sadness. And I'm like, sometimes you do just have to switch that off a little bit as well. Acknowledge that there are sad things going on, but like sometimes you have to switch off the news. Sometimes you have to come off your social media and just take that break, because your reality is created by what you're consuming in your brain. Your algorithm, what you're seeing in your life, is like the algorithm on social media. It's whatever you're thinking. It's a mirror back to you. So we have to be so conscious of who we hang out with, what podcasts we listen to, what news we tune into, how long we tune into the news for. Like I found during COVID, I'd call my mom and everything would be about COVID. I'd be like, would you just, I know you need to be informed, but you do not need to know how many deaths there were today.
So I stopped listening to the news in 2009. So I'm 16 years off the news. I have not a single clue what's going on in the world. I'm very curated. It's all the stuff that I'm really into. Like, so it's all, I'm on a Neville Goddard buzz at the minute. So
Yeah.
like, you know, it's all the, and I'm deeply spiritual and like we all are because that's who we are, right? But like that's all, it's very curated. It's all how I want my life to be as well, you know? So like it's, we need to, like you said there, our thoughts create our reality. So like we need this kind of conscious thing. The thing I'm kind of notice about myself, certainly, right? So I'll go through phases where like I'll manifest the shit out of life. Like I'll get absolutely everything. And then I forget about it, right? So but there's times now when I'm like, what do I want? So like if I'm, you know, the contrast, like what I love and what I don't love, like how do people get to know what they really want in the life? Like I want to live in Ranelagh, right? But my mind, my ideal house went for sale in 2022 and it went for 3 million euro. And I'm like, yes, it will be mine, you
But
know?
why can't it be? I'm not going to
That's,
say it's going to be yours in 2026 or 2027, but it
yeah.
could be yours in 2035 or 2030. Like, I think a lot of people put a timeline on these things. And I also think that they're like the way I look at manifestation is like there has to be a dose of reality.
Yeah.
Like, if you're living, if you want a 3 million euro home, let's just say, let's for take another person as an example. If you want a 3 million euro home and you're living in an apartment and you can't afford your rent, okay, let's start with paying your rent.
Yeah.
Let's start because it's too big for someone to look at, 3 million. It's too much. Like we have to take these in incremental steps, but it is possible. Do you know how that's going to happen? Not yet. Who knows? Your podcast could go absolutely global. Your book could be, you could be sitting on Oprah's couch. You don't know
I
how.
know, yeah.
Right? You just take the action and you have, but you have to ask yourself these questions as well. Like I have in step two, why do you want the 3 million euro home? Like, is it because I love Ranelagh, I love the area, or is it because I have a 3 million fabulous home in Dublin Six in the nicest part of Ireland? Like, you have to really question yourself. So I think that we have to step back and say, like, why do we really want these things as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just love the house. I've always loved the house. That it's like a farmhouse in the middle of Ranelagh and it's absolutely spectacular. So I just love the house. And I'm very unmaterialistic. Like I'm just I literally couldn't give a shit. I just like the house. And I adore
Okay, fair
Ranelagh.
enough. Yeah.
So it's like, okay, so we've decided what we want. So you spend a bit of time saying, okay, this is the way it's the direction in which I want my life to go. So, like, how do we go about maybe unblocking any blocks? Like, there's a real kind of process around it. Give us your process of manifestation.
Well, I mean, for me, like I always say to people when they come to me, they've got to know what they want and they've got to have done the work in a way. Like, there's a lot of things around like limiting beliefs around money and unblocking all your subconscious thoughts. Now, I don't go deep, deep into that. I'm the gal for you if you were like, I want to manifest getting a top book deal. I want to manifest this house. I want to meet a soulmate. I want a baby, and I am ready. And I want no excuses, like no, like, oh, but there's nobody out there and it's so hard for me and I can't do it and I'm not worthy. Do the work. Like, that's the way I'm like, do the work first. Then you could. People say to me all the time, I really want to join your manifest challenge, but I don't know what I want. Bye bye. You're not ready. Bye bye. Like, you're not ready for me. You're not ready for me. You're not gonna like my straight up, no bullshit, no excuses approach. I've had to do. Now, there's a little bit of the limiting beliefs and unblocking the blocks in my seven steps. What do you hear yourself saying? Like, let's say you want to manifest a 3 million euro house in Ranelagh, but you're saying, I'm gonna manifest this house. But where am I going to get the money? I can't afford that. Sure, I'll never live in. What do you hear? I'm not worthy of this. Sure, how would I ever get that? How's that going to happen for me? Because I don't have a job that has earnings and incomes like that. And so that's part of it. But there could be more, there could be deeper sub, like 95% of our habits come from our subconscious mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm really not the person to come to if you need to unblock all of this stuff. I am your girl if you know what you want and it's you are clear and you're in a good place, or even you want to just start learning how to practice gratitude affirmations, learn about manifestation, and you could manifest the house, but you might struggle with the soulmate or the baby because there are blocks there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And actually, that's such a good point because the people who get the best results who come to me are in the action phase. So they are ready to take action. Absolutely. Like if they're, oh, I don't know if I want to stop drinking or if I do, they're that ambivalent. That's it's not going to work, right? It's the people who go, I am sick and tired, Olivia. Do your magic. It's not magic, but do you know what I mean? And next thing they're off the booze for a year or 2 years or whatever. But
Yeah,
yeah,
they're
so
ready. They're
they're
ready for you.
ready.
And also, you have to acknowledge, listen, like I know so much about manifestation, signs, all this spirituality, the universe, everything. But like if anybody claims to do everything, I'm not a therapist. I don't do the inner child work. I've done it myself, but like there are different people for different things. And you actually have to recognize that as well. And also, like a lot of people will say to me, will you do one-to-ones? And I'm like, oh, I'm almost afraid of one-to-ones because I do not want to end up in a therapy session. Like, that's just not, I want to tell you, oh, you want a baby? It's happening. Like, it's
Absolutely.
happening. That is it. Like, you are with the right person. You want a soulmate? It is happening. You want that dream job? It is, it's going to happen. You want the dream book, it's going to happen. But if you're like, I don't love myself, I'm not worthy, I'm like, you need to go back a few steps.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but just back to, I suppose, when you started manifestation, when was the time that you kind of really looked and said, wow, this re like what blew your absolute mind?
There are so many stories, insane stories over the years, like incredibly insane stories. But I think what first blew my mind was, now let me just think about the pattern. So when, let me just think about this because this relates to my heart and a baby. Then I got pregnant with Penelope. Okay, so my heart first, and Penelope, the baby. Okay, so really the first time that I actually realized how powerful our thoughts were was after the loss of Polly, which was in May of 2020. And when I had my son in 2018, he was born on the cord. And the doctor said to me, I had him by section, it was emergency section. And the doctor said to me, oh, he was born in the cord where you're lucky that he came out naturally. And I'm not naturally by section, otherwise it would have been 40% chance of death or disability. And I remember having these thoughts of like the cord, the cord, the cord. I was very, very concerned about the cord. And my very first childhood memory, and this might go back as well to like almost that kind of epigenetics and what we inherit and stuff. But one of my very first memories in California was when I was about 7, and my mom had my brother, and she was laying in a pool of blood on the floor after she had him. She came home, but she was hemorrhaging. So a couple things. I got pregnant then with a little girl, and she passed away due to a rare cord incident. And I don't know. I'm just one of the, I just believe that like I had this so much in my subconscious mind that, and I intuitively knew something wasn't right before I had the scan. I was like, there's something not right here, even though my husband was like, what's going on? But that's that knowing again. So I don't know. Did I just know my higher self? I know this is kind of straining to a little bit woo-woo, but like, did I just know something was going to happen? I don't know. Maybe, but that was a point where I was like, oh my God, our thoughts are so powerful. And I almost became afraid of my negative thoughts. So that started. And then what happened was after I had poly, I hemorrhaged, which was a memory, and I was so had so much fear about hemorrhaging again. And then I had Penelope and I hemorrhaged after her again. But what had happened then was prior to having all my kids, I had three miscarriages, and I went into actually the doctor's. I was pregnant with Penelope, and the doctor, one of the obstetricians, said to me, "You've got one of the worst obstetric histories I've ever seen." And it was so bad, like as in from three missed miscarriages, loss at 5.5 months, two hemorrhages, blood transfusions, like all this jazz, right? And what had happened was before I had my son, I was had three miscarriages, so I was visualizing that I would have twins, two boys at Christmas. And I have this on my desk. This is the angel Gabriel. And I used to say the rosary and I used to pray the joyful mystery, I think it was, where the angel Gabriel came down to Mary and he told her that she conceived. So I used to pray to angel Gabriel, right? So, and after I had my first miscarriage, my aunt went, and I used to sign off on my emails. It was something like peace, love, and hope. I can't even remember what it was. And my aunt went into an angel shop in Ventura in LA, didn't know that I had named the baby Gabriel and that I was praying to Angel Gabriel. And she said, "I don't know what it was, Yvonne, but I just was drawn to the angel Gabriel." And she got me a little shield that on the back of it had said like peace, hope, and love, the exact sign off that I was putting in my emails. So it was just crazy. So that I was starting to think this is just more and more was coming. But I started to visualize that I'd have twins, two boys at Christmas. And as you know, Olivia, I had a
Yes.
boy, I had a loss at 5.5 months, I had a girl, and I was done. Done, 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 done. But then I got pregnant. We decided we'd go for number three, and we got twins, two boys, and they arrived on Christmas Eve. So there are three in December. And that was the point where I was like, holy shit. Now I know for sure that anything is possible. And I mean anything.
Anything.
Anything. When you believe. When you believe. And the belief is the hard part.
Absolutely. Because obviously our mind then nearly scuppers are like what's true in our heart as well. I'll give you just a little tiny, now it's not, but I like cars, right? And I like kind of boy racery cars. That's kind of my personality or whatever. And I like rave music. So I last year we went to Glendalough, right? And I got Gary to take a picture of me beside my dream car. It's like a Lapiz blue Golf, really fast, gorgeous car, whatever. So he took a picture of me and I was always looking at it. And then I did like I superimposed my face into the car and it was in my like manifestation folder on my phone, right? So anyway, blah blah blah, got the car, bought the car. Oh my God, what, I can afford this car? Oh my God, it's so amazing. Anyway, the car was there. Gary took a photo of me looking out of the car, like just swimming in gratitude. The night I got it, it was in the driveway, blah blah blah. The next morning, right, I went outside and I was like, take a picture of me in the car, Gary. Oh my God, I love my car so much. And it is my dream car, which is so fabulous. When I looked at the picture the previous August, and this was April, right, I was wearing the exact same outfit, the exact same sweaty Betty leggings and sweatshirt. Not exactly it. Isn't that mad?
No, it's not mad.
Oh, it's not mad. Of course, it's not mad. It was meant to be. It was meant to
Well,
be.
I there's this the crazy story that I've had so many women. Obviously, a lot of people follow me, especially when they're struggling to have babies because of my own journey. But there was a girl that was trying for 4 years. 4 years trying naturally for a baby. She started following me. She did the manifestation challenges. And you know that in every manifestation challenge, we buy ourselves the card that we
Yes.
would expect to receive. This is my one for the next challenge. I've already bought it. I'm kind of cheating, but it's this one. It
Oh,
says
that's
Queen
creepy.
Bee. And then I really like this one. Bestie, you're the main event.
I know.
So I learned that. So
Love
anyway, she bought herself a card, but I always remember the card because it said on it, she had shared it in the group. It said, you are going to make great parents. And I thought, oh, that's a lovely card because it involves her partner as well. Like, it's not just like, congrats on the baby, congrats on the girl, congrats on the boy. So she bought this card for herself, got pregnant, just recently had her baby. But before she had her baby, she had a baby shower, and all of her friends pooled together, bought her a gift. She came home, she was showing her husband the gift and the card that came with the gift. And he was like, that card is so familiar. It was the exact same card she had bought for herself. Like,
Amazing.
that you. Again, you can't make this shit up. There's something more. And you know what, Olivia? This is what I will hand on my heart. Put my this is like when I do my corporate workshops, I always say to everyone, you know what? There's a lot of neuroscience here. We know we're tagging, our brain is tagging stuff that's important to us. So, you know, all this value tagging, selective attention, all this stuff, right? From a neuroscience perspective. But there's more.
Yes.
There's more, and I can't always explain it, right? But one thing that I would say is I interviewed Dr. Bruce Grayson on near-death experiences. And now I know for sure that there's something more. Now I really, really am in tune with signs and things that are go I'm so hyper aware at the moment of like even not living my life on logic. Basing it around into intuition and the signs from the universe. I'll give you an example. I've been thinking about doing a subscription-based service for the manifestation movement, right? The manifest movement, well, a subscription-based service, and which is really funny because when I first started the business, I had an amazing mentor, still great guy, still meet him, and I worked for him in a tech company. And when I showed him my manifestation boxes, he had a SaaS company that he sold for over 50 million. Tech software service at a company, and it was a subscription app. And he said to me when I first met him, he's like, "You got to make this a subscription. You got to make," and that was like 3 years ago, right? Now I wouldn't have been ready at the time to make it a subscription, but so I've been thinking about doing this subscription-based service, and all of a sudden I started to like see the bumblebee everywhere. I saw it on a necklace from the event, the Betty and Biddy necklace. I would see cards. I would see my friends with these, my friend on LinkedIn with this massive bumblebee. We had a nest in our front yard. I was like, what's going on with the bumblebee? Then I was like thinking about doing the subscription-based service. It was in my head. What will I charge? Will I go low, high volume? Will I go high, low volume? What will I do? And I had the book by Laura Lynn Jackson, this book here, I'll show you, which is a great book, called Signs. And she's a psychic medium.
I know
This
her
one,
well.
Signs. And I'm now reading her book called Guided. I probably read about 20 books all at one time.
Me too.
And so I was thinking about the subscription-based service, and I was got the book, and I said, I'm going to do a podcast episode on signs. It's a really big part of who I am at the moment. And I went down to Artie Baker, which is in our little village in Sandymount. And I went in, I got my coffee, I had my book, I had an hour to read. And I sat down, and this older man beside me said, "It's a lovely, crisp day, isn't it?" And I was like, "Yeah." Just started chatting. And then he said to me, "I miss them terribly." I was like, what? He said, "I miss my bees terribly." He was the beekeeper out in Powers Court, right? He's telling me how much he missed and loved. His name was Norman Butler, how much he missed his bees and how much he loved them. And he was probably, then he was telling me about jumping out of planes, but he told me all these bee stories of people getting stung, about how they were almost like an immunization. Like he would carry around a jar. And people would say, "Norman, do you have your bees?" And he would put them on to let them sting, and they would be immune from different things. He was part of this big, huge
Nice.
bee global, not global, European network of beekeepers. And I said to him, I felt so bad. I was like, could you go, if I took you to Powers Court, like, would you see your bees? And he was like, his eyes weren't very good. So anyway, I came home and I was like, This is not random. The bee keeps coming up. What is going on? So I put it into ChatGPT, spiritual meaning of bees. I put it in and it said, bees are all about community. Community, 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 which is exactly what I'm trying to build with the Manifest movement. And they also said, bees, like basically, bees have big bodies and small wings. So technically, they shouldn't be able to fly. So what may seem impossible is possible.
Yeah.
You just might not know how it's going to unfold. It might seem impossible, but it's possible. So I would really encourage people to start really becoming aware of sign synchronicities through nature, the birds, the bees, deer, whatever animal it might be, but also try and start to recognize numbers, sequential numbers, but also recognize what are you thinking in that moment. And you have to bring it back to that to try and be like, oh, this is a sign. Maybe this is the right path for the business right now, you know? So I really, really, really use signs. And also the baby that passed, Polly, like I'm a huge believer that I get signs. Like I've asked her for signs before, very specific. Like I remember I have a picture down like this hike that we used to take. I'm in front of it. I'm pregnant with her, with my son. And it's my last picture that I have with her that I'm pregnant. And myself, my husband, my son, my daughter, and the twins, all of us decided to take this hike again. Now, this walk, it's not a hike, but this walk. And it was the first time I had been back there doing that walk since I had taken that picture. And I was walking along and I said, Polly, give me like a really, really clear sign that you're around, but it has to be your name. Like it has to be Polly. So it like has to be written on the wall, something. It has to be your name. And within 30 seconds, this lady that came to my very first event with big red, orangey hair comes walking towards me, and her name is Polly. Her name is Pauline, but they call her Polly. I know her as Polly, right? And I hadn't seen her in forever. And I was like, that's it. But the problem with people is they don't accept the sign.
Yeah, they look for a different one.
Or they ask again and again and again.
And
Oh,
again and
okay, you
again.
must send it the second time, the third time. It's your sign.
Exactly. I was reading that book Signs actually 6 years ago when Gary's dad passed, literally, right? And I had to drive down after Gary went on ahead of me, and then I drove out down after. And as I was, his dad's name is Mick. And as I was driving in the car, I was like, Mick, because obviously Laura Lynn Jackson talks a lot about signs. And I was like, right, if you are okay and all is well, I want to see a rainbow, right? And I said that sign, and I drove into where his mom lives, and there was not one, but there was two rainbows that landed on the roof of her house when I got down to there. And I literally, like a lunatic, ran in, and I was like, oh my God, everyone, come out, come out, come out, look, the sign is there. And they were like, what? You know, and there's been loads of stuff like that. But like, we are these deeply eternal, these are my belief. Like, I read all about NDEs, you know, I'm very, very firm in the belief that we are literally drops of the ocean here having this experience. For and I'll go as far as, because I'm really into this at the minute, and with Neville Goddard or whatever. So I am, maybe this is a step too far, we all are God's represent, we are representing God on earth. We are how heaven touches earth in a physical body, and how the universe, God, whatever you want to call it experiences itself. And like, anything is possible. And you
Anything,
know that,
anything.
anything.
And you know what that the thing is a lot of people are like, well, I'm not into like I'm spiritual as well. Like I don't go to mass or anything like that, but like manifestation is in the Bible. Like I used to always read this passage, and it came from the Secret app, and it was Matthew 21, 22. Whatever you shall ask in prayer, believe, and you shall receive. And I really just believe that like anything is possible, but we have to get on that alignment of trust, surrender, belief, worthiness, and almost like be the love that we need to see in the world. And it's all possible for us. It is all possible. But sometimes people just need to start with small little, which can come back to gratitude. Like, I am so grateful this week that my kids are no longer sick, that I'm no longer sick. I read a post on LinkedIn, like I said to you earlier, some 15-year-old boy in the hospital with tongue cancer. He's going to go through lots of chemo. You know, one of the Irish influencers lost her husband to cancer. Like these, and we have to take a moment to be grateful for our health, being alive, being here. We might not love our jobs. We might not love the situation we're in at the moment, but there's always something to go back to be grateful for. So if I was only allowed to give everyone one manifestation tip that they could do, like I can only give you one tip. What is my top tip? And it would be to really practice gratitude and be grateful for absolutely everything, the little things, and become aware of all the little things. Because I really do think a grateful heart is the magnet for miracles, money, manifestation, everything. It all starts with gratitude.
It really does. Yvonne, I'm going to leave it at that because I know you are the busiest person I know. Well, I'm just going to say from my point of view, and like you don't give discounts, you don't give freebies. I've paid for absolutely everything, right? But you are building a community, right? Because I'm part of it. I know so many women who are. They are now friends of mine. One of them gave me a manifesty bestie painting. That's a little kind of card. Yes, Laura.
I have a link somewhere. Where is it? It's up
Yeah,
there.
you.
I have it there.
So it's on my.
Yeah. Oh, the girls are just so, they're just so great.
And you can literally be in there. You can make a show of them yourselves. You can literally go, "Oh, hi, I want to manifest this." Like you wouldn't say to any other human ever. Like you'd
No.
be absolutely scarlet. But you can say it at your event. So you
Yeah.
are creating an unbelievable community. You're showing people how not to give a single damn. You know, this is me. Like it or leave it. Do you know what I mean? So, like, I would highly recommend. Like I said, I've been to all your events. I've done all your manifestation challenges. I will definitely be doing the one in January. So I couldn't recommend it more. But how can people sign up? Where can they find you? What are you doing?
Yeah, so when is this episode out?
And this Sunday, so very
Oh, okay.
soon.
Oh, so we're really close. So yeah, so sign up at pausepenny.com for the manifestation challenge. A lot of people say to me, which box should I get, the manifest or gratitude? I'm like, do the challenge. It's
Do the
once a
challenge.
year, do that, usually once a year, maybe sometimes twice, but do the challenge. It is the best community, it is the best group. It's going to get you on the best path. And then you can just follow me on Instagram for tips. And also there's the free podcast, which is, it was called All Up in Your Biz. I've just changed it to the Manifest Movement. Lots of solo episodes there on everything from manifesting a soulmate, the baby, the health, how to surrender and let go, how to stay consistent, how to raise your vibe. Today, it's coming out next week, will be how to act as if, like, act as if you already have it. Like, I told people today, this will be the last one on my podcast. I was like, listen, I'm going global, right? I am going global. I am like, I see myself, I'm getting on a plane and going to LA. My husband just booked us flights for the World Cup going to LA. I sent him a text message. I was like, I'm so excited about my gig in LA, my speaking gig in LA. He's like, we're going to the World Cup. Are you working? Are you working? Question mark. I'm like, I'm manifesting. We're going to LA for my speaking gig, and then around it, we're going to the World Cup, which he just laughs at me, right? So you need a supportive partner. But I said I need to act as if. So like, I'm walking down the street. If you look at me, I'm saying to myself, "Yeah, I'm that girl from the Manifest Movement." Like you don't know who I am, but I'm pretending. You're looking at me, thinking, is that girl from the Manifest Movement? I love her podcast. I love her talks. I love her books.
Yeah,
Because I'm just
absolutely.
acting as if. But like,
Acting as
that
if.
is just putting
Yeah.
me on a good vibrational frequency.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like you have a number one podcast, you know, you're doing exceptionally well. And like it acts as if, okay, so I'm gonna take your a leaf out of it. I want to go to Australia this in like 2026. So that's number one, and my publishing deal as well.
Yeah.
So that's what
So
20.
what you need to do is you need to get your passport,
Yeah.
put it beside your bed,
Oh,
put
fab.
like a sticky note like this on it, you know, and
Yeah.
just write Australia on it. Every time you see a plane in the sky, you're like, we're going to Australia, we're going to Australia. You know, like that's your sign. Like you see, so you like you have the passport beside your bed, you're visualizing getting on the plane. You're looking up flights.
Yeah.
And I always say manifestation is like going on vacation. You figure out what you want. Do you want sun? Do you want a ski holiday? You figure out why you want it. Well, why do you want it? Because, you know, you've never been there before. You want a ski trip or you want sunshine. You see yourself going, you're getting excited. You take action, you're packing your bags. And then you get to the airport and the flight's delayed. You're challenged by the universe, but you still know I'm going to Australia or I'm going to the Bahamas or wherever you're going. You are going to be challenged along the way, but you are still going. You know this, but you've got to take the action. You got your passport, you got your flight tickets, you book your accommodation. You're not checking up and seeing, did I book that flight? Did I book that flight? No, you're not, because you know you're going. And that's exactly what, like, that's like a good analogy of manifestation. The only difference is when you book that flight, you know the date, and you don't know the date of when things will arrive when you're manifesting. That's the only difference, really. You know, you act as if you're going, you know you're going, and you're not questioning whether you're going or not.
And just around the book, so I have like a mock-up, so I have the actual cover for it. I'm always holding it, you know, looking at myself in the mirror. Every time I go by Dubray bookshop, I'm like, oh, I can't wait. I said it to my kid the other day. I was like, Mama's gonna be in there next year signing books, and they're like, oh, have you written the book? I was like, yes, you know, so all of those kind of things. But look
Yeah,
at
stand
this
with
is
the book. Get the book.
yeah.
Have a copy with the cover in your bag at all times.
Okay.
All times.
All time.
Always.
Always.
Well, but, and then when you any bookshop you go pass by, you stand in front of it with your book and you take a picture. Like I stood in front of LinkedIn. A year later, I was in LinkedIn doing a workshop. I just recently stood in front of Stripe, Meta. I'm like, I'm going to be in all these places. I don't know when. I don't know how it's going to happen. But
That's
do you know how
fine.
I got on LinkedIn? The other Olivia Hunt. She was like, I actually work in LinkedIn. I'm going to give you their name. Boom. That was it.
Yeah.
Done. So you have to put your, and then when you go into the bookshop, like start nosing around at the books and then put your book on the top shelf. Take a picture of that. Take it down. Run out the store like a crazy person.
It is, it's fun. Like there shouldn't be, you know, and like I said, you don't give a damn. It's you, this is just who you are, you know?
But why should you care?
Yeah. But that's very hard in Ireland because all we ever hear is what would the neighbors think, or you know, but like we're shedding that skin, I think, for sure.
Yeah, we really do need to let that go
Yeah.
because it's just not serving us at all. We're living a life like that book, The Five Regrets of the Dying.
Yeah.
You know, one of the regrets is not living a life authentic to you. And I really do believe that the universe, God, you know, your heart, whatever you want to call it, when you start living a life authentic to you, because I do believe that everybody has a gift.
Yeah.
And you need to share your gift with the world. And you need to share it as you. Like, even when we, like Olivia, so funny us, I'll never forget it when we went to see Gabrielle Bernstein together and we're sitting beside each other. And I thought Gabrielle's talk was really, really good. But I thought she was exceptional when it came to the questions.
Yeah.
I just thought she really like that. It was just exceptional. And I remember you looking at me and being like, holy shit. And I remember thinking, holy shit, I've got my event in September and I'm not going to be able to answer the questions like she does. And I had to remind myself, I am not Gabby Bernstein. I am not Matt Cook. I am not Mel Robbins. I am Yvonne Trakian, and I will bring something different to. I'm not, don't compare yourself against other
Good.
people, authors, book writers, whatever it is. We have to be who we are. And when Matt Cook is talking about quantum physics and it's like going over my head, I'm like, quantum, what? But ultimately, we're getting to the same place. Myself and Matt are
Absolutely.
getting to the same place, but he's just real deep into the science.
Yeah.
You have to remember, you don't need to be deepened. If that's not you, just be unapologetically you, and things will unfold because you cannot create content, you cannot write books, you cannot do all of this stuff if you have to copy somebody else, because it won't be sustainable.
Yeah. And actually, just to that point, the lady near death experience, Anita Morjani. That's one of the things that she said she experienced when she had a near death experience when she came back. Be unapologetically yourself. You have to be authentic. You cannot censor yourself for anybody. And that's it, you
And
know?
that's kind of been my biggest lesson this year, because being a lawyer, we're perceived in a certain way. We're very formal. Typically, we don't talk about manifestation. We're very logical, data-driven, law-driven, legal-driven. So my biggest challenge has been kind of coming out on LinkedIn talking about manifestation, because I don't talk about law. But it was really my limiting beliefs, because I have lots of lawyers join the challenge. I'm in the law firms. I'm going into law firms giving talk repeatedly. They have me back. Do you know what I mean? And I have to think about it. Well, actually, lawyers are very type A. They're very driven. They're very goal orientated. And they're also human.
Yeah,
You
absolutely. But
know?
everyone's a human. That's the thing.
Everyone's a human. So some people might think it's woo-woo and it's nonsense. And like Wayne Dyer said, he said something really brilliant that, like, because like if some people say something to me and I'm like, oh yeah, whatever. Not kiss my ass, but like, I'm not going to censor myself that much. I'm going to be like, I'm like, Yvonne, you need to be, just be more loving. Which I do want to spread more love, but I do also have a sassy side where I'm like, hello. But he said something like, they do not know the magnificence. Is that what you say? Of their mind yet. Magnificence of their mind yet. They just don't realize how brilliant their mind is yet. If they're saying you're delusional, or you can't do this, or you can't do that, they just do not know how magnificent their minds are yet. So
The
that's
thing
gonna be
is,
my new line.
like Marianne Williamson says, it's like our greatest fear is that we're not good enough. Our greatest fear is that we're magnificent beyond belief, you know? Same thing, isn't it? Amazing. Yvonne, thank you. That has been magnificent. Just like you. Lots of love.
Lots of love.
No More Booze, the podcast, is produced, mixed, and mastered at the studios of Irish Audio Drama. For more information, visit irishaudiodrama.com.